following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Welcome to your weekly soccer deep dive covering Europe and beyond, where I'll offer you insightful and memorable content. I'm your host, DJ Pa, and this is Off the Pitch. Welcome back to another episode of Off the Pitch. I'm your host, DJ Pa, and today we're going to be welcoming on a very special guest, a talented goalkeeper who earned NCS D2 All-League honors and the Coach's Award in 2023, the biggest Tottenham Hotspur fan I know, and my team captain during my junior year of high school. Welcome to the show, Carlos. It's good to have you here.
How are you doing, DJ Pa? I'm glad to be here.
I'm doing well. I'm looking forward to this conversation. So let's get right into it. I want to take it back to your senior year of high school. During the summer, you train as a defender, but as the season approaches, the team is in desperate need of a goalie. What was going through your head when you heard this?
I think one of the main things going through my head was basically that I just needed to step up, because I obviously we needed an actual full-time goalkeeper, not just like switching off every game, you know. And basically I just decided, I'm like, you know, I'll just step up. And I had a couple practice sessions with coach, and it just happened, you know.
Right. And did you have any experience being a goalie before this, or was this kind of just a confidence in the moment kind of thing?
I would say it was a little bit of both, because experience-wise, I played, I guess, like when I was like young. But, you know, obviously when you're young, you're not like playing the same as you play when you're older, you know. And confidence, well, it's just like, you know, I felt comfortable in goal.
Great. That's good to hear. And let me ask you this. How did you prepare differently as a goalie than you did as a field player? For example, how different were your training sessions or just your mental going to a game?
Well, to prepare differently as a goalkeeper, I would say, during practices, we would do more like diving sessions, more catching the ball, you know, off the pitch stuff, really. Mentally, I would prepare, you know, I would just try to stay focused, you know, get my head in the game, because I know like one error can like throw the game for us, and just trying to be focused like pre-game and everything.
Absolutely. And now let me ask you this. You had 1 year of experience in high school. What was the hardest part about playing goalie?
I would say trying to bounce back after an error, because that one error, you know, I would think about it a lot. But one of the main things I learned is just to forget and move on, you know, focus on the next play.
Absolutely. You bring a good point. Tell me more about that. For example, you make an error during the game. You let a goal that you know you could have saved. What do you do in that moment? Do you forget about it, or do you think about it? Do you try to improve? What's going through your head in that moment?
Well, if I'm being honest, the first couple of games, I would repeat it in my head. You know, I'd be like, dang, I could have saved that. But as the season continued, I would realize, I'm like, okay, they scored a goal, it's fine. Now I just got to stop the rest, you know, whatever they come at me, you know.
Absolutely. Now, let me ask you this. Who introduced you to the game of soccer?
To the game of soccer, I would have to say it was probably my uncles from when I was very young. Basically, I would just be at home watching a couple soccer games. They would have the game, like a couple soccer games on the TV. I fell in love with it. I started watching it. And about second grade, I actually started playing it. And throughout like my school years and everything, I kept playing soccer. Fell in love with it even more.
Absolutely. That's good to hear. I also would have the same answer. Definitely my family members are the ones who influenced me to play that game. And by watching it, also gain motivation. Now, during your high school career, like I mentioned, you had 1 year goalie. What was your most memorable moment during that 1 year?
Well, I would have to say, like, emotionally wise, I would say probably my final game, because it was just really, even though we lost 2-1, it was a really good game, but it was just like sad to know that was my last game at my high school.
Okay, you spent the majority of your playing career as a field player. I know you played forward when you were younger, and you played 1 year of goalie in high school. What would you prefer, a game-winning goal or game-winning save?
A game-winning save, 100%. Because I feel like it would just be more, maybe not as memorable, but just like knowing that like you helped save the game from like losing, you know. I feel like that would feel really good.
All right, I definitely agree. I never played goalie in my life, but I would definitely say I would prefer a game-winning save. Now, what would you say is a necessary trait for a successful goalkeeper?
I would say a necessary trait would 100% be being tall. I also think having like the lateral quickness of moving side to side really fast is very important, as well as being able to throw your body when needed.
Definitely the first thing I thought of was height. Obviously not everybody gets that, but like you said, being laterally quick, being able to just move to your side as fast as you can whenever you want is definitely a trait that is not always common in every single goalie, but definitely needed. And is there any goalie that you kind of trying to model your game after while you're in high school?
When I was in high school, I saw a lot of Guillermo Ochoa. I saw a lot of Thibaut Courtois. And I just kind of like saw, you know, their kind of play style in a way, try to mimic it, like how they would throw themselves, how they would like cover their goal, how far they would come out, and just try to like, in a sense, just try to like see their play style and try to put it on the field when I was playing.
Now on that same note, do you think it's beneficial for a young goalkeeper to look at someone who's their same size, or do you think it does not matter? So for example, somebody who's say 5'10 in high school, looking at a goalkeeper who's world class and is 6'5, do you think height matters when you're trying to gain inspiration from a professional player?
I don't think height matters as much. I just think it's just more like I was saying, height doesn't matter as much because I think it's more about learning technique. Because obviously you can't teach height. You know, height is a genetic thing. And I know like even there's people that want to be goalkeepers, but you know, they're not tall enough. So obviously I think it's just more learning technique, you know, and getting better at your skill.
Okay. And a similar question. What do you think matters more, a world-class goalkeeper or having a great defensive backline?
I would say obviously both of those things really matter, but having a great back line obviously really supports the goalkeeper. But I would have to say having the world class goalkeeper as your last defense maybe is better, because if you think about it, you know, your whole back line gets cooked and the defender is a one-on-one. Having that world class goalkeeper, you know, obviously you feel a little more comfortable, you know, that they're gonna save that shot, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. It's more important to have confidence in your goalkeeper than your four defenders, because you could have three center backs, you could have two center backs and two fullbacks. There's lots of different ways you can have a defensive system, but definitely you can't take for granted a world-class goalkeeper. And you mentioned you watched Memo Ochoa as one of your inspirations while you're in high school. Is there a memorable moment that you've had while watching soccer that has just stuck in your brain ever since then?
2014, Mexico versus Netherlands, no era penal. That moment has stuck with me ever since, because we were robbed of a World Cup semifinal. But it is what it is, you know, we move on. But it hurts to this day.
Yeah, for context, for listeners, what happened in that match was that Arjen Robben, the winger for Netherlands, was dribbling the box, and he was subsequently fouled by Rafa Márquez. If you look closely, it looks like Robben made a dive, and he definitely got that penalty. He worked for that, and it just haunts us Mexican national team fans. We definitely look back to that moment and think that we had a chance in that World Cup if it wasn't for that instance, which put us down in extra time. Now, let's move away from your playing career and let's go and talk about the Premier League. What made you, Carlos, become a Tottenham fan?
To start, I wasn't really a Tottenham fan. I saw a couple of highlights and clips of Heung-min Son, their striker on Tottenham, their left wing. And basically, I was like, you know, I really like this player, you know. I started watching their games more. And then I was like, you know, Tottenham, they're not the best team, but it's like, you know, I like the team, you know. And I just started watching them and watching them. And then I started buying their jerseys. And, yeah, I just started calling myself a Tottenham fan to this day, you know.
Absolutely. I think that's very common in a lot of American viewers, that we pick a team that maybe has that one player that we resonate with the most. And for you, it was Son. For me, it was Chicharito. For Man U, when I was younger. But we definitely can't compare the two clubs. It's clear that Manchester United is a way bigger club, and they have way more history than Tottenham, who hasn't won a trophy since I don't know when. although Tottenham has had success more recently in the league, they just lost to Ipswich, who barely got their first win in the Premier League since 2002. That's crazy to hear. But I want to get away from the Premier League and just ask you one simple question. Messi or Ronaldo?
I'm going to have to go with Messi, because obviously he's the best. He's the GOAT. Plays on Inter Miami. And I just love watching his play style and the way he plays. Obviously, you know, winning the World Cup in 2022. And I just love that guy. Love watching him.
Yeah, I think we can agree to disagree there. Maybe it's because you haven't watched as much soccer as I have, that I know that Ronaldo is the best player who's ever played the game. If you've clearly watched, you can see that he won countless Champions League with Real Madrid. He won five Ballon d'Ors. And Messi definitely got lucky with a couple of his that puts him over the edge with Ronaldo. But if you just go by goals, you can definitely say that Ronaldo has him there. But I do respect your opinion. I think that Messi is a good player as well. Okay, let's bring it back to the international talk. I want to get your thoughts and opinions of how Mexico's national team is playing out right now compared to USA. It's clear that USA has a lot more talent in Europe that's more distributed. They have well over, I would say, 20 players who are playing professionally in Europe. And it seems like there's only a handful of Mexican players that are in Europe right now. Why do you think that is?
Well, to start, it's even crazy to think about, because if you look back like 10 years ago, 5 years ago, it was like the exact opposite. And now if you think about it, like I feel like USA is just like, they learn how to properly develop their players. They're sending them off more to Europe. They're getting all their training in. They're becoming well developed. If you look at Christian Pulisic with AC Milan, how he has developed and is having a great season right now, compared to the Mexican side, where we only have like Julian Araujo, we have Edson Alvarez over there, and they're developing, but it's not the same when USA has like their whole squad over there developing, compared to us where we only have like 5 to 7 players developing.
Definitely. So what I hear you're trying to say is it's not about the players necessarily, but more about the federation?
Yeah, I would say it's more about the federation, because I do know that basically whenever a European club is trying to buy a Mexican player off a Mexican team, the Mexican team overprices the player, so then the European club does not want to buy them anymore, which leads to them staying in Mexico, them not developing properly, and them just like their selection, our team just not being that good when it actually matters.
Absolutely. I wholeheartedly agree with you right there. And that's going to wrap up our interview. Thank you so much for joining us today, Carlos, and I hope you have a good day. To the viewers, we're going to have another interview next week. Thank you so much. We'll see you then.